This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Well, would you remain standing just for a moment as we read God's Word together? From Proverbs chapter 3, we find these words: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones." Gracious God, as we spend this time together, we thank You that Your wisdom is what we need. And during these moments together, may Your Holy Spirit speak to us Your words and Your wisdom, and give us strength for our bones. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's great to be with you this morning and see a couple of our Mount Horeb kids here in the front, Madison and Amber, right there. Good to have you here with us, all of you here. We are in the midst, we finished up a sermon series not too long ago at Mount Horeb called Undercover God. And how many of you ever seen the show Undercover Boss? A few, good. One of the few shows that Lynn and I watch together. It's my wife likes certain shows. You know, she likes Dancing with the Stars and Biggest Loser, and we watch Undercover God, Undercover Boss, and it's a neat thing because it's a show about a boss in a corporation that goes undercover and works among his employees and is in disguise so they don't recognize him, and then he watches them work and realizes in many cases how much sacrifice people are making to do good work that's going to allow his company or her company to be effective and productive. And what's neat about the show is that that the undercover boss at the end then reveals himself to the employees, and then oftentimes rewards them in some pretty amazing ways with, you know, paying some medical bills or providing scholarships for college. Or, I mean, recently people have paid off workers' entire college debt. That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? Somebody showed up and said, "Hey, I got your college debt covered, and you're good to go." But obviously there's great analogy there to how God chose to come to the earth through His Son Jesus in the incarnation. And for many, and still today, for many, God is undercover because they don't recognize Him for who He is. Part of our responsibility is to help reveal who God is. And so that folks who don't realize He is here with us through the Holy Spirit and through His Son Jesus, that we would help them realize that. Because many people have a hard time recognizing God when He shows up, and they miss those opportunities to encounter God along the way. Many of you perhaps have experienced God showing up in unbelievable ways, and that's part of your testimony. That God has spoken to you, God has revealed Himself to you, God has used you, God has worked in miraculous ways, and we need to share that. But we need to realize that many, many people on the planet here, in our community here, have never seen God show up. They've never experienced God's presence and power in their life. And you're here at this great school to receive training and instructions on how you might go out and into the world and help people experience a God who does not want to be undercover, but who wants to be revealed and proclaimed. Now, I want to talk to you a bit about that today and how God uses prayer, God uses path, God uses people and purpose to reveal Himself. And one of the things I get to do as a pastor is go to some neat conferences. And one of the conferences that has meant the most to me as a United Methodist is called the Leading Edge. And it is a conference for the senior pastors of the 100 largest attended Methodist churches in the country. And we get together and share together and talk about vision and what's working in our churches. And it's neat to be around people who are on the cutting edge of revealing God's power in their ministries. And so we've experienced that, and it's been a great encouragement for me and my ministry at Mount Horeb United Methodist. Also, I attend something that's called the Large Church Initiative, which is for large church pastors, and again, how we can take what God is doing in our churches and increase that across the nation. And Lynn and I were in Tampa earlier this year at the Large Church Initiative, and we spent time there, and there were some folks from all across the country there, including some other United Methodist pastors from South Carolina. And so that conference took place, and then Lynn and I extended our stay a couple days over in Longboat Key, which was kind of nice, had a little vacation time. And on Thursday that week, we decided that we were ready to come back, and so we got up early that morning, packed a car, and we're sitting in the parking lot getting ready to leave, and my wife is the real prayer warrior in our family, in our marriage, and she says, we got to pray. And so, you know, I'm doing the guy thing. I'm getting the GPS ready, and, you know, so I don't get lost coming back to South Carolina. And Lynn's praying that we would be safe, and she does all those great things. Lord, guide our path, and just use us, you know, as she does. And I'm ready to go. You know, we got to get on the road here. You know, we got 9 hours of driving time. So I pull out, and we're driving along, and just, you're probably wondering why I've got cheer wine up here. Let me just say a word about the cheer wine, and then how it fits into this story. Anybody ever have cheer wine? It's a cola, just so you know, it's not, yeah, anybody like cheer wine? I've got two bottles here I need to give away at the end, so I really, really, really like cheer wine. And, but several years ago, I found out that I also have a health issue with kidney stones. Anybody ever had a kidney stone? Yeah. One person over here? Two? Okay. Not much fun, is it? Well, I found out that one of the reasons I had kidney stones is because I drank too much of this. Okay. And the doctor says, you know, you got to cut out the cheer wine. No more cheer wine for you. Or maybe in moderation occasionally, but you know, you can't be drinking two of these a day. It's not good for you. So, but I really like these things. So and I don't drink coffee, and so I don't have any, you know, caffeine stuff going on too much. Anyway, so I'm driving back, and we're about 5 hours into the trip, and Brunswick, Georgia, near the Brunswick, Georgia exit on 995, and I'm just feeling a little tired, and a little sleepy, and I say to Lynn, I say, Lynn, you know, I think I could use a chair wine, you know, and she says, well, you know, you're not supposed to have chair wine. I said, no, I could use a chair wine. I mean, I just, you know, you drank coffee this morning, you want to drive on 95? No. Get your chair wines. Anyway, so I pull off the Brunswick, Georgia exit, and I go to the first, you know, gas station, and they got no chair wine, you know? So then I go to the next gas station, no chair wine. And then I remember that earlier that morning we ate breakfast at Cracker Barrel, and that Cracker Barrel has a cooler, and there, by the way, you check out. And in that cooler was cheer wine. And I remember that, and so I look, and there's a Cracker Barrel right across the street. So I go to the Cracker Barrel, and, by this time, my wife's getting a little frustrated because she's got things to do back in South Carolina. She says, look, we got to go. You know, this is God saying you shouldn't drink chair wine. So I said, let me just go into Cracker Barrel. So I go into Cracker Barrel, and I know exactly where the chair wine is because I was there at the previous store earlier today. I go over there to the cooler, and I look in, and all they got is diet chair wine. You know, now if I'm going to fall off the wagon, I'm not going to do it for a diet chair wine. I want the high test chair wine here. Okay. So I get I'm a little impatient. I'm a little rude. And I say to the lady, you don't have anything but diet chair wine? It's just, no, it's all we got. And then I hear somebody say, hey, Pastor Jeff, how you doing? Oh, goodness. You know, you ever had that moment, you know, where you just, and so I turn around, and it's three of the pastors from South Carolina who had attended a conference 2 days earlier, and they're working their way back to South Carolina as well. Well, Lynn's in the car, the car's running, I'm a bit impatient, and I say, hey guys, good to see you all, and I leave, and then Lynn says, I told you to go to that gas station, go there, and sure enough, there was cheer wine there, because Lynn prayed the morning, and I didn't pray, but anyway, so I get some cheer wine, and I drink the cheer wine. Well, on the way, I'm on the road, and then I'm feeling guilty, because I've kind of blown off these other pastors. And because I've, you know, was in a hurry. And then I start thinking, well, you know, they were thinking, you know, the big church pastor didn't have time to talk to us, you know, and all that. So I feel convicted. So I text someone, get the phone number of the pastor, call them, and all that to say is we start having a conversation about ministry and how we need to take this idea of the leading edge, which I attend with large church pastors, and duplicate that in South Carolina and pick 25 of the largest Methodist churches in South Carolina and get together and have this leading edge in South Carolina. Now, I looked at it as my wife prayed about our path, and we ended up in a Cracker Barrel in Brunswick, Georgia, getting a cheer wine that involved some people that revealed God's purpose, and now we're planning this event. Now, I would say, is that coincidence, or do I have confidence that God was in that? You know, and so I want to talk to you a bit about coincidence and confidence, and then how God reveals Himself. First of all, through prayer. You know, prayer is powerful. Our church at Mount Hope, we call ourselves a prayer-driven church. We want to be a church that's driven by prayer. And I think that I know that when we are driven by prayer, that we are on God's path, and we encounter people along the way that help us live out our purpose in life. So prayer is a huge part of that, personal prayer, where we seek His will through His Word. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Seek His will in all you will do, and He will show you what? What will He show you? He will show you which path to take. Okay, personal prayer. And that prayer is going to involve obedience, where we have to trust God, and it's going to result in confidence that He's there. Confidence that He's there, that was not a coincidence that happened that way, that I'm confident that God had a path and a plan, and we followed it. Now, does God work through coincidences? Absolutely. But I believe that there are a lot of things happen in our life when we pray intentionally about the path we're to be on, that the people that we encounter are part of God's purpose for our lives. And so the product of that is that, or we may be the product of someone else's prayers. I mean, how many of you know that you're here today because of somebody else's prayers? Amen? I'm here today because of other people's prayers. My wife texted me on the way over here. I had been praying for you today. I prayed for you for the talk you're going to give at CIU. The product of other people's prayers. I need to surround myself with people's prayers. I have a men's prayer breakfast that meets every Friday morning at 6:45, and we pray together for the ministries of our church. And I know that God blesses the ministries of our church because we have men that pray every Friday morning at 6:45 a.m. And we pray about the weekend. We're intentional about that because we know that people are a product of prayers. Recently, not too long ago, about I guess a couple years ago, I was doing a sermon on marriage, and I had Steve Arneson. Some of you may know Steve Arneson is a great Christian counselor here in the area, and he and I were doing the sermon together on marriage, and we're preaching the sermon on marriage, and it was a great sermon. Steve did a great job. Anyway, it was later revealed to me that that morning there was a couple there. That was going through a divorce. They had already been separated for a year, and the divorce was just about completed or ready to be finalized. And he was on one side of the church that morning, and she was on the other side of the church that morning. And they heard the talk that Steve and I gave on marriage and working on marriage and counseling and the role that plays. And she felt convicted, the wife did, convicted to make an appointment with Steve to go in for counseling. And so she went to counseling. Then eventually she got her husband to go to counseling. And long story short, 6 months after that Sunday, Steve Arnes and I renewed their marriage vows in a service at the church. Amen? Amen. Now, was that coincidence? Or do I have confidence that God was working that morning in a powerful way? So there's no doubt that God works and guides our path through prayer. Now, talk about path for a minute. There's a lot of discussion, and I'm not totally sure where all of you are at theologically on this, and we're all, you know, different places theologically. We all come from different backgrounds. But some people would think that our path in life is predetermined, and that everything's predetermined, and we just follow that path. I believe there are things in Scripture that are predetermined. I think that God made a promise about His people entering the Promised Land. And I think, you know, it took them 40 years to get there. They got and entered into the Promised Land. I believe that it was predetermined that Jesus Christ would come into the world and that Jesus Christ would die on a cross for the sins of the world. I believe it's predetermined that one day Jesus Christ will return and set up His reign in a new heaven and a new earth. David declares in Psalm 139, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before me before a single day had passed." So there are certainly things that God knows about all of us. There's a young lady whose name was Petra Anderson. Petra Anderson was sitting in a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, watching Batman, when a gunman, you remember the story, right? A gunman breaks into the movie theater and starts shooting rounds of ammunition. And a buckshot entered into Petra's brain, and she was rushed into surgery. And her pastor recounts the story that that the surgeon who came out and talked with the family, that Petra evidently was born with a channel through her brain that was filled with fluid, and the buckshot entered the exact point of that channel and went from the front of her head to the back of her head and never touched any brain tissue because it entered into that channel. Now, do I believe that God knew that? I believe so. Was that coincidence, or to have confidence that God was involved in? I don't think God caused a gunman to break into a theater, but I think God brought good from that in showing His power and His knowledge and His path for that bullet. Evil didn't win in that time. Amen? Amen. So, confidence or coincidence? Now, predetermined. There's another path about path, and being a Methodist, I'm a John Wesley fan, and Wesley talked about something called prevenient grace. Grace which goes before. Grace where God is at work in our lives before we realize God is at work. Working through the Holy Spirit to prepare our hearts to receive salvation. Wesley would argue that the path of salvation is never our idea. It is always God's idea working in us and prompting us toward the right path. Jesus said this in John 6, "For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me." The role of the Holy Spirit working on the path of our lives. Now, I believe, though, some things in life are predetermined. God knows everything. I believe that. God is all-knowing. There is God's prevenient grace that works ahead of us in our path. But then there's all the possibilities, all the incredible possibilities that you and I have to live out our life for Christ. You know, this concept of free will was important to Wesley. You know, Wesley and John Calvin had some major disagreements on theology. And one of my favorite John Wesley stories is some of Wesley's followers ask him, do you expect to see John Calvin in heaven? And Wesley said, no. And so his followers got excited about that because, man, that's all right, we got to go slam these Calvinists now, because John Wesley said he didn't expect to see him in heaven. And then Wesley went on to say this. He said, you know, John Calvin is such a great spiritual giant that he'll be so far ahead of me in heaven that I probably won't ever get a chance to see him. So that was the spirit of Wesley. That we all come from different places and different interpretations maybe of understanding, but we all serve the same God. Amen? And, you know, I always think it's about heaven. You know, heaven, when I get to heaven, by the grace of God, there's going to be some people there that didn't expect to see there. And there's probably going to be some people aren't there that I thought would be there, right? So anyway, we don't know about the grace of God and how God works in all that in people's lives. But possibilities. I believe that God gives us incredible possibilities. And you're sitting here at an early stage in your life of ministry, and in this room are amazing possibilities for the kingdom of God. What you can do for the kingdom of God, what you can do in a church or in a ministry somewhere in the world through missions or through a local church. But that possibility, a lot of those choices rest with you. In Deuteronomy, we read these words, "Today I've given you a choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, and so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying Him, and committing yourselves firmly to Him. This is the key to your life." What a great word. This is the key to your life. By choosing life, By loving the Lord your God with all your heart, obeying Him and committing yourself firmly to Him. So your life and my life is full of possibilities. You know, I know that in my life there you know, even though I'm on the downward side of ministry and not where you guys are at, I'm you know, haven't got as many years in ministry left as you have, but I still believe there's some exciting possibilities for me in ministry. Every day is an exciting possibility in ministry. Why? Because we pray, and then God guides us on a path, and then God's going to place people in our lives, and then there's going to be our purpose lived out. And I believe that happens every single day we live. Until the day we die, we should be seeking in prayer God's path to encounter God's people or unbelievers, and so that we can then live out His purpose. So people, God often works undercover through people, does He not? To reveal Himself to us. People that will prepare us for the path. People that will help us find God's purpose for our lives. People that encourage us. You know, my life is marked by people who helped get me to where I am today. People who prayed for me. People who stood beside me. And not only has that been a benefit for me, but it's reminded me how I need to be that kind of person for God. That I come alongside other people to help encourage them in their path and their purpose. People that partner with us in ministry, inviting us to be on God's team with them. You know, my life was changed by a guy named Dave Cheeks, who was a high school senior when I was a high school freshman. And I became a Christian when I was a freshman in high school. Had never gone to church much, and my family weren't believers. And I gave my life to Christ at the age of 14. And then Dave took me under his wing and began to disciple me as a new believer. And then Dave became a mentor to me. And my senior year in high school, Dave had gone off to college, felt convicted that he and I needed to go to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, for the summer and live there and work there and do ministry. Didn't know anybody, didn't have a job anywhere. So we packed everything in our car, and our theme verse for that summer was Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you talk about faith. We jumped out and made that journey down to South Carolina, and went to work, found a job, at Lakewood Campground. Anybody ever been to Lakewood Campground there in Myrtle Beach? Christian Campground. I got to be involved in ministry there. Neat things happened. And, all that to say, it was really cool how God used all that. And then out of that, I met my wife, who was from South Carolina. Then we ended up here in South Carolina, and all that because of a prayer, because of a path, because of a person, people. David Oshine over here, David and I, through prayer, I ended up at Asbury Seminary. Through prayer, David ended up at Asbury Seminary. David then became a friend of mine there for a while at seminary, and then our paths went totally different. And then I end up in South Carolina. David ends up in South Carolina. And we made a connection as he worked here at CIU. And CIU has blessed our youth ministry in powerful, amazing ways. We've had some great people serve at our church. Trevor Miller is there now, the student ministry director. Megan Barnes now is our adult education director. Grace Marie Ward is our praise and worship leader. Matt Dinsky there working with our youth ministry. We've got other students that are here working in our ministry. So isn't it neat how prayer, path, people, now is purpose? Here I am speaking to you today. Have I got a minute, 25 seconds left? Is that what I got left? Okay, I got to hurry. Okay. Basically, let me say this to you. As you think about your path, Andy Stanley said it this way, that direction, not intention, determines our destination. Direction, not intention, determines our destination. Every one of you here today, I'm sure, has good intentions. But in the end, it is not your intention that will get you where you need to go. It is the direction that you choose to go in. I believe that all of us have a tank full of high test free will. You know, and so God's going to give you a choice about that direction. And you get to choose that path. But I would just admonish you to pray every day, to lean not on your own understanding, but seek His understanding. And He will bring people onto your path that help you determine your purpose. One neat story in closing. We had a guy in our church who retired at the age of 57. He got involved in ministry, and an amazing thing happened. He started a ministry in our church called Emmanuel Wheel, which builds wheelchair ramps all across the Midlands. And Ed Hartung's life was taken one day near my house as a car pulled out in front of him and killed him. And the neat part of that story is that there was another car involved in the wreck. And because Ed pulled out a certain way, his car, his truck kept the impact of the car away from this young lady in a Mustang. And when she came to, Ed's Hartung's glove had landed on her windshield exactly where her head would have hit had she had received the impact. Long story short, her mother sent Ed's wife, Char, a letter just describing how grateful and thankful that even in Ed's death, that God used him to save her daughter's life. Amen? Let me pray with you. Gracious God, I thank you that you have brought us here today for your purpose, that there's been people in our life that has helped us discover our path. And Lord God, that through all of that, it is through our relationship with you in prayer that makes all this possible. Bless these students as they go about their path today. Help them to encounter people that will help them fulfill their purpose for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.